If you haven't been tuning to ABC, which you should be, you may have missed the six-part series, Fires. It's inspired by the 2019-2020 summer bushfires, and it details experiences of people who faced this natural disaster. Joining us now is one of the creators of Fires, Belinda Takyo. Thank you. I was trying all morning. How are you this morning? Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I must say, I had seen it advertised, and seeing that I was speaking to you this morning, it did motivate me to watch it. And oh boy, it was emotional. I'm emotional at the moment anyway, but I was crying. How was it for you working on the show, and how did it come about?
So first part of the question, how was it? I cried a lot, yeah. I have to say. I actually found it really difficult talking to people, yeah. even during the production. Mm-hmm. When I was talking to crew members that we were bringing on board or cast that were coming on board, I started to choke up every time I had a conversation with them. And I think because it was a very, very, it was such an important part of our history. It was only recently had happened to all of us. And I also felt a very big weight of responsibility in telling that story, especially so soon. And how it came about was it was originally an idea of an old long-term colleague of mine, Tony Ayres, who's probably one of the top television producers in the country, has made an enormous amount of series, including the recent Netflix hit Clickbait. Mm-hmm. And Tony sort of was like a lot of us watching the fires on the news and thinking, well, what can we do? What can we do as, television makers, as storytellers? And he had an idea to, for an anthology series, and then came to me, first of all, to sort of take over the development of it and to act as the showrunner on the series, which is the kind of overall creative guide for the series. And luckily I had a gap had sort of opened up in my schedule, so I was able to take it on because it's something that was really, really close to my heart. Obviously a lot of Australians, affected a huge number of Australians, and I think was an incredibly important story to tell, particularly because we felt that the fires had only just finished and we were just starting to reckon with those losses, and then COVID happened. And I think then, it felt to me as though, and to Tony, that there was an opportunity after the fires where we could have had some really serious discussions about what needed to change. And then we sort of got, distracted is not the right word, but what I mean? It's, yet another disaster kind of came upon us. And so we hadn't really grappled with the fires, and we felt that this series might be an opportunity to kind of bring it back to the forefront, to talk about the really big questions, but also, what's happened to the people who were affected? How have they been helped?
Yep.
Are they getting the assistance that they need? How are we going to change things?
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting. It is soon, and after, and often, there's quite a period of time between the disaster and, So, yeah, why now? Why did you think? Again, you mentioned you bring it back to the forefront. Did you have some concerns doing it so soon?
I think we knew that we were taking on something big, and I think that we knew that it would be the response of a lot of people that it was too soon to tell this story. And I do understand that.
Yeah.
And I do totally, understand why someone who has been through those fires would not want to watch it. And I think that that's the right choice for them to make. Certainly the last thing we want to do was to re-traumatise people. Mm-hmm. But Tony said this really succinctly. He said, we can't wait 30 years to tell this story. We can't wait 3 years.
Yeah.
We don't actually have the luxury of time to be focusing in on what's happening in terms of climate change, in terms now the kind of weather events that we're getting and things like these massive, massive bushfires.
And did you think, and that really was it to bring that issue of climate change and supporting the current people now, is that what drove you to do it, firstly and to do it now?
For me personally, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think Tony, I don't want to speak for Tony necessarily, but I know we had a lot of discussions about, a sense that what we would love at the end of the series is that it felt like it was a call to action, that people would kind of go, we need to do something. And how, whether that be big or little, that there was a sense that we don't want this to happen again.
It did. To me, I really got that sense of, oh, we've forgotten about this. This was really, it was really not that long ago. You know, it could be another hot summer. We could go through it again. Absolutely felt like a call to action. You had some fantastic actors available. I assume because of the current situation, they were more available.
Yes.
How did you get them on board? Honestly, some standout performances. Again, it just made me cry though.
Yeah, I think we were so fortunate. I think that the subject matter drew a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think that people felt that a lot of the actors that we were able to get on board cared about what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
The very first person to come on board was Eliza Scanlon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am eternally grateful to Eliza. Clearly, as a young person,
she was phenomenal.
She was absolutely, I mean, she is just, an amazing young actor.
For people who don't know, you would have seen her on Home Away originally, but she also moved on to the very well acclaimed Sharp Objects as well, just to let them know. But she was fantastic and just so real.
And a very, and a very in demand young actor. For her to come on, onto an Australian show, and she'd just done Baby Teeth as well and was getting just incredible kind of acclaim for that too. So, but Eliza was really committed to what we were trying to do. And, when one person at that level, at that caliber kind of signs on, that actually, opens the door to others. People like Sullivan Stapleton, Richard Roxburgh, Miranda Otto, they really, Noni Hazelhurst, they got what we were trying to do, and they were, they were committed to what we were trying to do.
I mean, I thought Richard was fantastic. He plays, without giving too much, he plays a farmer, and it just, you've seen him in so many other roles, and he comes into this one and he embodies your average farmer guy, which is one of the stories you were trying to tell. Noni, and this is what I love, if you haven't seen it, and especially for Dita to sit to us, there was obviously Noni playing a community radio host.
Yes.
Which I thought was fantastic. And how important was that role during all of the...
Those people, were a lifeline, an absolute lifeline. And, we based the series on true events on true stories, but we also tried not to tell just any one particular story. So a lot of the stories were amalgams of things. So yes, Noni's story was based on, the story of a community broadcaster, but we also blended that with even stories from the Black Saturday fires.
Yeah.
So there's a moment in episode 6, which was based on something that a Melbourne broadcaster had talked about during Black Saturday, when he was getting calls from people who were in the middle of the fires and didn't know where to go, and he felt incredibly helpless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not being able to do anything for them practically. But those broadcasters during natural disasters are absolute lifelines for people. So we really wanted to represent that and a whole other series of sort of elements to, a disaster like this.
And I could talk about this for hours, but I can't. So I will start to wrap up now. But how did you, I do want to ask, is how did you find all the stories? Did you go out and speak to people? Had people you knew had personal experiences? I feel like a lot of research went into it.
An enormous amount of research. So, the first was kind of gathering, because there was a lot of stories already out there in the news, et cetera. So we gathered all of those together. We had two researchers working full-time for us for a period of time. They went out into the field, gathered more stories from people who'd actually, been through it. And then once we'd sort of decided where we were going to go with each of the episodes, either the researchers and or the researchers with the writers continued to kind of focus on their episode and gathering more stories and information. And, so it was constantly kind of touching back to the real. There were two words that I kept saying to everybody all the way through. I said, I want the series to be authentic and immersive, to feel like you were there at the time with those characters going through what they were going through. And so it was incredibly important that we were constantly touching back to the real, so that it did feel real when the series came out.
A silly little geeky question for me, though, is how did you do the fire scenes?
Okay. That's not a geeky question.
Because they look so real.
It'll be a long answer. One of them was that one thing that we had to do was to have some real fire in there.
Yep.
Digital fire much as technology is shifting and changing, is very, very difficult to get right. So there were probably three elements. We did use some stock footage, mm-hmm. so that really helped, and mm-hmm. we had to knit that in seamlessly. So that's real fire, mm-hmm. real footage. We had real fire, so we had an amazing special effects team. And then we combined that with digital fire, which was through our visual effects, but we also used a new technology, which is we used a company called Dream Screen in Australia, which uses LED technology. So normally when you do visual effects, you shoot everything against green screen and then you put in the, you know, the visuals afterwards. When you use the LED technology, you're shooting real time. So you've actually got the digital fire all around you on screens that are, you know, 270 degrees and overhead as well. So you're getting a lot of reflected light. The actors can see what's happening right in front of them. They're not pretending. They're not guessing at what might be happening. If a flame is coming towards them, they can see it coming towards them.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a really, it's an actually fantastic technology. Do not think we could have done it without that new technology. Mm-hmm. I think it would not have been as effective and as authentic.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were really lucky that the technology has developed to the point that we could use it for this particular series.
I mean, again, I could talk for hours, but I have to let you go.
No worries.
And have you got any upcoming projects that we can look forward to?
I'm just looking at what I'm going to be doing next, actually. Mm-hmm. So there's a few things on the table, and you know, Fires was a massive, massive project. So I actually just needed to have a lie down.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like a big lie down after watching it.
Watch some Scandi noir and read a couple of sort of, you know, very easy to read novels.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of coming out from that now and working out what my next project's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I actually need to watch it because I couldn't quite even take it all in. It really was emotional. And I think you've done a fantastic job. And thank you for telling
your
story.
So
that was, it does need to be told. So I look forward to seeing more. Hopefully there'll be no need to have another one of those. But
I really hope not.
A really incredible job. Thank you so much for your time today, Belinda. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was Belinda Chakyo from the ABC. It was currently filming, showing on ABC Fires. It was absolutely fantastic. I really highly recommend it. But yes, you may well need a bit of a lie down afterwards. It's a full on.